Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson, and I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica, from a man's perspective. And as always, I want to say thank you to the listeners. Thank you for supporting this channel. I greatly appreciate you. Tonight's topic, why do I keep attracting a certain type? So do me a favor, sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. Tonight's question of the night is, can erotica and porn kill my sex drive? Yeah and no. There are many things that come into play when you're speaking of sexual performance and arousal. Yeah, erotica and porn can sometimes kill the sex drive, but it can also be a source of sexual arousal. Each are controversial topics, and people aren't able to agree on the morality of both, but I think, you know, the media try to make people lose interest in sex sometimes, because both are, like, you know, they're pretty much harmless, you know. It all depends on how you use it. And it can be used to encourage consensual sex. Porn is popular today with, you know, smartphones, computer, the internet. And it has become one of those topics that's common among other subjects and other entertainment. I know, like, you know, when you watch TV, most of us aren't thinking about sex. However, some kind of way it's weaved into the story. You know, it's supposed to add to the mood. You know, strong sexual content on television is supposed to help you get in the mood. For me, I can't say it happened. Well, regular TV, there's been a couple of shows that kind of got me boosted, made me feel a certain way, so I'm not going to say no to that. Both actually can boost your sex drive. It releases, endorphins, and it makes you feel good. They also help you become more sexually aware. Erotica and porn forces you to brainstorm sexual scenarios and fantasies. Plus, they can also help you realize that you can be very creative when it comes to sex. Porn and erotica tend not to be healthy activities for some people. And not just because they are pretty much guaranteed to look at them at some point of our lives. Okay, porn and erotica tend not to be healthy activities for most people. And not just because we're pretty much guaranteed to look at them at some points of our lives. While porn and erotica can be a big influence in depicting normal, healthy sexual relationships, images and videos typically depict a vastly unrealistic, idealized, one-dimensional sort of relationship. We take this newly built image into the real world, but we do it, and it typically leaves us or leaves certain people disappointed or upset. And our natural response to disappointment or anger is to change our behavior, which in this case means not looking at porn at all. How do porn fuel your sex drive? It is said that porn makes sex better. And I think that's depends on the person. Because I've talked to some people, both men and women, and porn does nothing for them. Whereas some people actually need porn to get it started. Now, myself, I don't fall in neither one of those categories. I can take it or leave it. When I was younger, I enjoyed, you know, watching certain types of porn. But now, honestly, I can't remember the last time I've actually sat and watched a video for any long period of time. You know, I mean, I like it, but it's not my interest. You know, some new research suggests that watching porn doesn't make you more sexually aroused, but it might help you enjoy sex more. Alternatively, some people say that porn actually lower their sex drives, but that's because they're doing an activity that's pleasurable but does nothing to increase their own sexual arousal. The mental and psychological effect of porn addiction can be deeply destructive. When a person involves themselves in a sexual fantasy or picture, a reaction is triggered in their brain. It's the same reaction that takes place when indulging in other pleasures. Now, to wrap this up, I'm going to say I'm on the fence, because like I always say, it depends on the person. But at times it can cause sexual problems. It can, I know, like too much masturbation can prevent you from being ready when it's time to have sex with your woman or for a man. It's been said that if a man masturbates too many times, that when it's time to get with his woman, he can't maintain an erection because he is thinking about the young lady or what he saw in that video. And his woman doesn't look anything like the young lady, or doesn't act or perform like what he saw on TV or on the video. So a mental block is developed and he can't bring it home because he has to watch porn. I think that happened to me one time. Once or twice. It hadn't been that many times, so it had to have been about twice where I had to get jump started, you know. And I think that was a little, I was advancing in age. It wasn't in my 20s. My 20s, no problems, you know. But that does, because it caused sexual problems, it doesn't mean that it's like the root of all evil. Sometimes our loss of desires sometimes our loss of desire can be due to problems that we have existing every day beyond sex, mental health, paying bills, stress. Everyday problems can prevent you from getting it on and popping. So anyway, that's that. I'll be right back with the question. I'm sorry, with the topic of the night.
Dating and relationships can be fun and exciting,
aspects of life. But what happens when you keep attracting the same type of person? Do you eventually lose interest? Move on to someone new and that's available? Being in a certain type of relationship or with a certain person is not a matter of luck. It's entirely dependent on it's entirely dependent on how you are attracted to it. If you're attracting someone who is less advanced than you, the relationship, if you're attracting someone who is less advanced than you, then the relationship would be, I would consider it negative and probably filled with drama. But say if you're attracting someone who's as advanced or who might be a little bit more advanced, then you can find a fulfillment with that relationship. And you may even find someone that you can love. People tend to seek out similar types of partners. And this is referred as a love match. Love matches love matches or finding someone who is on the same page or in your element, or when you attract people who share the same interests, goals, or desires as you. These love matches often occur because of similarities in your values and personalities. One of the reasons why you may attract the same type of person is because sometimes you don't want to change. And I'm not saying change is bad or good. It depends on you, the person, and what type of relationship you have. Because if you have a relationship and it's filled with drama and, constant disagreements and negative vibes, then both you and that person should acknowledge that, hey, we may need to change this because this ain't working, the way we need it to work. But say one of you or both of you are unwilling to change, that's a problem. Because if you are unwilling to change a situation that doesn't work, then you may not need to be together. Because your refusal to change is preventing you from advancing in your relationship or making your relationship better. And that's kind of like common sense. Some people are just so fucking stubborn. They won't change. They won't move an inch to make things better. They want things to be better, but they don't want to change who they are. They don't want to step out of who they are as a person and as someone in the relationship. So that just caused internal stress. And it keeps you at a certain point. You can't move forward. Another one would be inner demons. Now, a lot of times you may hear me say certain things from my past. This is something I never really admitted. I've always said I'm not the jealous type, and 90% of me feel that way. But the other 10%, I've been jealous. I've had people who, I've had women who dated guys who I knew that wasn't shit. One guy in particular, he was always on that black power shit. And his woman didn't hide. The girl he was dating, I had an interest in, she didn't hang out. She was kind of religious. So a lot of times when we would go out, she wouldn't go out. She would just give him that hall pass to just go and hang out and dance and do what he wanted to. Come to find out, all that black power shit he was talking, he had a love for Asian women. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. but you can't speak about how you're not getting a fair shake because of certain nationalities, and then you go out and dip on that, dip on your girlfriend and deal with someone Asian. And he actually would talk to Asian women if we were out. So, and I've never been the type of man that would say, girl, he ain't shit. I've always said, you know what, if it's meant to be, we'll get together, but it won't be me going and stepping on another man to get a woman. Because for one, I never felt like I had to do that. Two, I live by a certain code, you know, and some people say that code is bullshit, but that's the way I grew up, you know. As a man, you never speak down on another man just to get a woman, you know. I mean, that way of thinking has changed now. You know, I see motherfuckers snitching right and left, you know. But there's been plenty of times I've been like, what is it about him that would make her not want to get with me? And it was just that demon of jealousy. It just took over sometimes, you know. So I had to, it's been a couple of times I went through that. It's been a couple of times I had to experience I couldn't have that woman because she wanted someone else. And I'm like, because I always think I'm not going to say better, but I hold myself in a high regard, you know. So anyway, the next one would be emotional baggage. In relationships, if you're ending a relationship, you cannot take luggage of baggage into the new relationship. You can't take that whole relationship into the new. If you're not ready, be honest with the person who's interested in you and say, hey, I'm still dealing with some emotional baggage from my last relationship. Give me, you know, give me some time to get past this, and then I'll let you know when I'm ready. But no, some people are just so eager to get away from their last relationship. They don't give themselves enough time to heal and to purge that relationship out of them, especially if it's bad. Especially if you are buried so deep with baggage because you were dealing with the wrong person, that you're not ready for the right person when they come along. I know some women will hold baggage for so long that they think that the guy will never love, that they can never be loved again. I know someone, you know, who actually have went through that. She just felt like no other man could love her. And I'm like, are you crazy? You can cook, you're good looking, got a good job. You know, take care of your family. You're the ideal catch. Don't let one man's, you know, one man who couldn't see what he has stop you from showing up what you're able to, you know, give people or present to people. Because there's going to be somebody who's going to love you. Somebody's going to find some good in you and make you a happy woman. You just got to find that person, or that person got to find you, however it goes. But don't feel like all is hopeless, you know. Another one is self-destructive behaviors. Past relationships has been important contributors to the progression and success of society. However, many individuals often find it difficult to grow from past relationships, which can negatively impact future ones. According to some sociologists, past relationships, especially abusive ones, are the cause of many self-destructive behaviors. So that's abusive, be it physical, mental, emotional, verbal, across the board. These types of situations will cause many to have self-destructive behaviors, low self-esteem. This is common among a lot of people, and mainly women. I've never seen that many men who've had low self-esteem. I've come across some, but I haven't seen it as much as I've seen with women. And to me, women who let certain people talk down to them or give them advice on they ain't shit unless they do this, they need to lose this amount of weight, they need to do this, that's low self-esteem. You can't let someone who bleed red blood like you, or who you shouldn't let no one, you shouldn't let anyone dictate what you should do at anything. Unless you're a child. If you're under the age of 16, 17, then yeah, that makes sense. But if you're 33 years old, there's no man or woman who should tell you what you need to do in order to blah, blah, blah. That don't compute to me. That don't compute with me. I don't understand how people take certain people's word and live by, make it their motto to live by. If someone's telling you, like me, I'm just talking for entertainment or sharing some information. I know when I first started, I would say, I can't do that. Because everybody don't think like me. Everybody don't vibe like me. So it's not my place to say, hey, because I'm on this podcast, I'm telling you what to do. You may not want to know about anal sex. You may not want to know about the self-destructing behaviors of a relationship. You know what I'm saying? So who am I, or who are anybody else that's on TV or the internet or online to tell you, hey, do this in order to have. Nah, that's always been bullshit to me. But anyway, I think when it comes to low self-esteem, a lot of women suffer from almost that constant feeling of being inadequate, and definitely insecurities. This can affect every part of their lives, including the relationship and their ability to form a meaningful, fulfilling relationship with others. Self-esteem is the perception that we have of ourselves, which determine how we feel about ourselves and how we act. Low self-esteem causes people to feel inferior to others. And that feeling of inferior can lead to future conflicts within a relationship. So, to wrap this up, the more I think about it, the more interesting it is as far as why you keep attracting a certain type. And sometimes you have to examine yourself. Sometimes you have to take a look at you and say, hey, maybe it's me. Maybe I am the cause of the fact that I keep dealing with certain people who may not give me the gratification that I need in order to be happy. Who don't provide that love or that understanding or that commitment I want. You may have a tendency to want everything fast and that instant, you know, you need to happen quick. The one for me helps me, well, the person that you're looking for, you have to determine what it is that you want, what it is that you need, and can that person provide? can they help you have the ultimate relationship? And are you going to be able to do the same for them? Bottom line. All right, so that's it for tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening once again. Thank you for checking out this podcast, man. I greatly appreciate everybody, man. It's just funny to me how I just keep seeing the growth. You know, it's therapeutic. I keep saying that, but it is. Each day I go through different things, but when it's time to, you know, talk on my podcast, when it's still Saturday nights, man, it's just, I get up for it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to ebb and flow. It's going to be long podcasts. It's going to be short podcasts. I think I kept putting pressure on myself to, you know, come up with so much research to cover a 30 minute slide. But sometimes it's like, you know, 10, 15 minutes is good enough, you know? I think people are very, when I keep saying thank you, I say it because I think people are, who take the time out to listen to me, are very, I'm gonna say special to me. And I don't mean special where, you know, I care for them or they care for me. I mean the fact that you find something interesting in what I talk about to tune in, that makes me feel special, and it makes me look at you as a special person, you know. Because people can just not like listen, you know. But I guess with me giving my perspective from a male's view, a lot of people may want to, well, some people may want to hear it, you know. So I just kind of like go over the flow and do what I got to do, put it out there, and then jump off the mic and wait till the next night, you know. I'm not one of those people. I've seen people on YouTube who talk for like 3 and 4 hours, and when they do that, what they're doing, they're monetizing their channel. And I understand making money doing that. And I probably will do that if I do YouTube, which I'm thinking about doing. But that's a different beast. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit more work. Whereas with this podcast, I can just plug up my mic into my computer and just start talking. With that YouTube, you gotta follow analytics, you gotta follow guidelines, you gotta make sure that sometimes you can't curse. And me being an exhaler, sometimes I just like fucking curse. But yeah, so the thing about YouTube, it's funny because I need a certain, the stuff that I have on my podcast, in order for me to transfer to YouTube, I have to get a certain software. So I would have to sit and transfer my podcast to YouTube, but I would have to set it up in a certain way because I don't want to have 20, 30 minute conversations on YouTube. I want to do something real short, like maybe under 2 minutes, kind of like a summary of what I talked about on the podcast. So I've been working on that, but that's a lot of work because I have to go back and check the bullet points on what I want to talk about and then compress, break it down to a 2 minute video. You know, thinking about outsourcing and let somebody do it for me, but we'll see. But the fact that, you know, I have people who come on and listen to me, that really, it really helps me to want to move to a different source as far as this podcast is concerned. But anyway, I'm about to get off the mic, and I want to wish everybody a good night. Take care of yourselves. Any questions, anything you want to talk about, critique, as long as you're respectful, when he speaks, erotica@gmail.com. And y'all have a good night. Take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.